Well, hey there, everyone. My name is Graydon, and welcome to the Eternity Church Weekly Podcast. This past weekend, we had the privilege of having our very own local legends preach the word for us. We had Pastor Brad, Pastor Connor, and Pastor Sean, and they all brought an amazing word, so you will want to listen to all of them if you can. This episode is Pastor Connor Weber. She is the world's most amazing youth pastor here at Eternity for the Wild Youth, and she is just flat out awesome. Without further ado, here we go.
Jesus has made us free. Do you believe that this morning, church? Yes. Yes. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Connor. I am the pastor of our youth ministry. Yes. It is called The Wild because we have a wild love for Jesus and a wild love for fun. It's all about loving Jesus and having fun, and I'm so honored to be able to do that. We have amazing youth in our church. But I'm also honored to serve under Pastors Jesse and Lauren. They are amazing pastors. They are faithful and they are passionate about what God is doing in this church, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it. So before we get going this morning, I want to go ahead and read our scripture. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Hebrews 12. We are going to be reading verses 18 through 29, so buckle up. It's a little bit of passage here. It says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it beg that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he promised, 'Once more I will shake not only earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." God, I thank you that we can come to you in confidence, knowing that you are our Savior, you are our King, you are on the throne. And God, I pray for hearts to be softened to your word this morning, that we are receptive of what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you take your seats, I want you to look to your neighbor and say, "What's up?" Awesome. Look to your other neighbor and say, "Wake up." Wake up. That's right, church. I want you to be awake this morning because we are going on a ride together. The title of today's sermon is Unshakable. Unshakable. Raise your hand in here if you've ever ridden on the Outlaw, the ride at Adventureland, the really old one. And I say that tentatively because I think it's been there since the existence of Adventureland. And I'm not actually sure how long that is, but some of you might be older than it, so I don't want to speak too heavily there. Anyways, moving on. So the Outlaw Yes, it is that old wooden ride. And I want you to go ahead and raise your hands again if you actually enjoy that ride. Okay, so if you have your hand raised, there's one of two reasons. Either you are crazy, or you wear a helmet while you're riding the outlaw. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to go on a little ride together, and I'm going to show you what the outlaw is like. So you're going on the ride, you get on, everything's awesome, you're excited, you're hyped to go. You get in your seat, you hold on to your bar, because you want to hold on to your bar. And you get going, and you're like, this is amazing, this is the best ride ever. But then it continues to shake, and you're like, okay, maybe not so great. And then you start to hear the people behind you and around you, and they're like, get me off of this ride. And you get to the end, and you're like, oh man, why does my head hurt so much? And you walk away with your friends, and you're like, that sucked. Why do we ride that? But then 5 hours later, because it takes 5 hours for your head to stop pounding, 5 hours later, you come back and you get back in line and you ride it again, right? Like, I don't know why we do that. I think maybe because we're like, well, I experienced it once, like I'm prepared for the next time, but you never are. You're never prepared to ride it again, right? But as I think about that, I can't help but to think that it's a little bit like the ride of life, right? It's a little bit like the ride of life. Things start to get shaky, and it's all good at first, but the longer that it goes on, the more your head starts to hurt. And the longer the shaking goes on, the more noise we begin to hear. And the longer the ride goes on and it's shaking, the more that we want out. But the tricky part is that the ride doesn't just physically shake us. It starts to shake our perception. The things that were once so clear start to be blurry. It starts to distort the way that we see things. And we begin to question, right? We begin to doubt. We can be more easily swayed. And we can become bitter. And the words that God spoke to us start to seem faint. The promise he gives you starts to feel further away, and your purpose starts to feel lifeless. The longer it goes on, church, the more we want to be back on solid ground. The longer it goes on, the more that we need to be back on solid ground. The more we need to be in the unshakable presence of God. Because his presence is unshakable. It's constant. God is constant. He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of Kings. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This is our God. When things start to shake around you, get in his presence. Get in his presence. When things start to shake, we need to be reading our Bible. We have to be reading our Bible. Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active. What that means is, as you're reading it, that scripture speaks to you right where you are. It speaks to you individually. I might read it, and then 5 minutes later, my husband Ian reads it, and we get something different, but that's because God is personal, and he speaks to each of us. That means that when we're facing temptation or a lie or a battle, the Holy Spirit brings that word to our mind, that he recalls for us the words that we have already read, that he speaks that truth over us. But in order to do that, we have to know what his word says. We have to have read it. We have to have spent time in it, immersed, studying his word, knowing the heart of our God. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means that every piece of scripture has breath and life in it. As you read it, God is breathing life over you again and again and again. And he can use every scripture to speak to you. But we also need to be praying. When things start to shake, we need to be praying. I love in scripture when we see Jesus getting away to pray. It often says that he rose early in the morning or he waited till late at night and he found a desolate place to pray because he knew that he needed to be alone with God. He wanted to be in a place where he wasn't going to be distracted. People weren't going to be asking things of him. He knew that he needed time with his Father. He needed time with just his Father, undisturbed. Cry out to God, your Father. Cry out to him when things are shaking. Cry out to him. In Jeremiah, it says, then you will come to me and call out to me and pray to me, and I will listen. He listens to you. Every prayer that you pray, whether it be from a place of sorrow and hurt or a place from joy, you're on the highest mountain, he hears every single word that you say. Cry out to him. And when things start to shake, we need to worship. We have to worship him. And I don't just mean from a place where you're on that high and you're over here and you're raising your hands and you're jumping around. Like, that's awesome. And if you see me up here worshiping, that's probably what I'm doing. But I'm also talking about from the place that we don't necessarily like to worship God from. The place where we're hurt and we're struggling. And when I think about that, I think about David and the Psalms and just the authentic worship that we see from David. And if you know anything about him, you know that he was a man of worship. But you also know that he faced struggle. David faced fear. He faced betrayal and hurt. He even faced death. And while he expressed all of those things to God, he still worshiped and proclaimed the goodness of his God. He never forgot how good his God was. He never forgot who was fighting his battles, that he was his protector and provider, that he was his shelter and he was his fortress, that he was his comfort. He never forgot that. We need to be more like David. Authentic worship, singing songs of praise to our God, thanking him for who he is, and just standing in wonder of his creation, in awe of everything that our God is, and falling to our knees in awe of his majesty. Get in his unshakable presence. But it's not just about being in the presence of our God. We should also be building our life on his unshakable presence. Building our life on what is unshakable, on God. Do any of you remember the kids' church song about building your life on the rock? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. Right? Do any of you remember that? Yeah. Like, I was thinking about that, and I just could not get it out of my head. It's crazy, but I just kept thinking about it, and it seems so simple, but it's because it's scripture. The Spirit was bringing that back to my mind, and it's based on a parable in Luke 6, and I want to read to you what that says. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." You see, it's not just being in his presence, but hearing his voice and obeying. Hearing his voice and obeying. Every major decision in your life should be taken to him. You're looking to go to college. Pray about it. You're looking to get married. You better pray about that, because you're going to be stuck with them for a long time. You want to get a good job. Pray about it. You want to buy a house. Pray about it. You want to have a baby. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. God will direct you. He will direct you. Every relationship should be built on him. You might be thinking, well, I have some pretty good friends that don't know Jesus. Awesome. You can still put Jesus first in that relationship. You can be loving them through the compassion of Jesus. You can be treating them with grace like Jesus did. Every thought taken captive to his word. When God addresses Israel, his people in the Old Testament, he often starts by saying, "Listen, O Israel," or "Hear me, O Israel." And the Hebrew word used there is shama or shema, which means to hear, listen to, and obey. And I love when I look up these words in Hebrew because they're so rich. They're so deep because, you know, we have the word that is to hear. So I might hear it, but it might just go through the other ear. Or to listen. Yeah, I might be listening and I'll comprehend, but then I also have obey. They're all different words, but in the Hebrew, God was saying, no, hear, listen, and obey. God speaks with expectation of us not only hearing his words, but obeying. Reading his truth and believing. Knowing where he's going and leading. Hearing his promise and trusting. Letting his fire burn in our lives. I want to read the last two verses of our scripture in the Message translation to you. It says, "Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's all cleansed. God himself is fire." See, we're all in the process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. We're all going through that process. And I love how it says there that God's not an indifferent bystander. God cares. He cares about you. He cares about your life. He is active in every part that's going on in your life. Whatever your situation or circumstance might be, he's active and he cares. He is an all-consuming fire. Nothing is left untouched. It is either burned up or it is refined. And I'm so thankful for the things that God has already burned up in my life. All of the lies that I've believed, all of the identities that I've put on myself, all of the plans that I have for myself that were not a part of God's plan, I am so thankful that he has burned those up. And I'm thankful for the ways that he's still refining me, helping me to love people more compassionately, helping me to better speak his word, helping me to better relate and love people with grace and passionately pursue his plan. Let God's fire burn up what isn't from him, and let him refine the things in your life that are from him, because he is an all-consuming fire. You see, the storms of life will come. The floods will come. But when they do, we want our house on the rock. We need our foundation to be so firm that it's not shaken, that it's not tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea. So firm that we are not destroyed. Get in his presence, church. It's unshakable. And when we're in his presence, I believe there are three things that he gives us that are also unshakable. Promise, purpose, and power. When we are in his presence, those three things can't be shaken from us. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I have spoken and I will bring to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. Fear not, for I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will give you peace that surpasses understanding. I will make a way in the wilderness. Nothing can separate you from my love. My plans are to prosper you. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. I have overcome the world. We have victory in Jesus because he has already overcome every storm, every flood that you are going to experience. He has already overcome. And his promise still stands. The promise he gave you still stands. So stay on course. Keep running your race. See it through. Your purpose still remains. God didn't change his mind. He's still working. He's still using you. And his power is still inside of you. The power of the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. It hasn't lessened. God has still given you the power to see your promise and purpose through to the end. So see it through. When things around you start to shake, and it looks like they are crumbling, remember, the things of God remain. His kingdom is unshakable, church. And we are inheriting a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Would you go ahead and stand with me? We are citizens of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. We serve the I am God, Yahweh, the one who always was, is, and will be. Our God, our King, is still on his throne. And the beautiful thing about it is that we can freely come to him on his throne. Anytime we want, for any reason, we can come to him on his throne. He's still working. He's still moving. His kingdom, it's still growing. His warriors, us, are still taking ground. His angels are still fighting. He is still going before us, lighting the way. He has still overcome this world. God is still on his throne, and he is still on mission. He's still on mission to further his kingdom. He's still on mission to set his people free. Free from the chains of sin, free from the chains of shame. He's still on mission to see those chains loosed. He's still on mission to be in relationship with every one of his creation. He's still on mission to trample Satan and every lie that he spews. And we, too, are still on mission. And our mission, too, is to see his kingdom furthered. Our mission is to be his voice on earth. Our mission is to love people the way that Jesus loved people, with grace and mercy and kindness. Church, we're still on mission.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.